Maybe the whole thing was some kind of first week hazing ritual. If it had been Dwyer who'd sent him, he would have been sure of it. Dwyer was the sort of bastard who was forever telling jokes, jokes with an edge to them, and usually a target. But it had been Marcus Tully who'd called him in off traffic duty, barely looking up from his newspaper as he handed Cormac the post-it note that was now stuck to his dashboard. Dower House, Monaghan Road, Kilmore. Maud Blake. Tully's handwriting, unlike the man himself, was tidy and perfectly legible. His muttered instruction had given Cormac the impression that the call was for some sort of minor domestic. Cormac hadn't asked any questions. He'd been concentrating too hard on trying to look like he knew what he was doing. It turned out that Kilmore was a blink-and-you-miss-it kind of a village, with a church, a mart, a tiny primary school, and two pubs. The Monaghan Road was 40 miles long and pocked with a bare scattering of farmhouses and bungalows, none of which bore any resemblance to a dower house. Cormac pulled in at the next gap in the hedgerow and sat for a moment. He was sweating. The heater was broken, the only settings were off and furnace. And given the temperature outside, he'd chosen furnace. Christ, the car was a nightmare, with a clutch that made threatening sounds every time he changed gear and a faint but persistent smell of vomit from the back seat. He'd been given the shittiest squad car in the fleet. Even the radio was in bits, its wires hanging loose, waiting for a fix. It could be a piss take, the whole thing, giving him a phantom address, a squad car that was falling apart. In which case, he should give up now, drive back, pretend that he'd known all along and had spent the last couple of hours eating his lunch. On the other hand, what if this was a real call and he arrived back without even having found the house? No, he had to find the damn place or be absolutely sure it didn't exist. His best option might be to try one of the village pubs. There was a 50-50 chance he would get real directions that wouldn't send him into the nearest bog. Cormac released the handbrake and started a slow drive back towards the village. He was about a kilometre out when he spotted two crumbling stone gateposts almost hidden behind a thick layer of ivy. The gate they'd once supported was long gone. Cormac pulled into the gateway. His headlights illuminated what was left of a drive. It was lined with mature sycamore trees, overgrown now, their bare branches meshing over a drive that was little more than mud and weeds. Deep ruts had been dug through the soil by the recent passage of a tractor. He'd seen the drive before on a previous pass, had taken it as an access track for farmland and dismissed it. But those sycamores and the gateposts suggested something else. 100-year-old trees planted to offer an elegant entrance to the parkland of some grand estate. An estate meant a dower house, or at least the chance of one. Cormac moved the car forward another few metres and peered through the windscreen. He couldn't see a house, but the tractor marks petered out halfway down the visible drive. Was there a farm gate there in a break in the trees? Maybe. Beyond that, the driveway continued and curved, and the tree line blocked whatever it might lead to. Cormac put the car into gear and started down the drive. He drove at a steady pace, aiming to keep his tires out of ruts where he could, and he made it without getting bogged down, following the drive until it swung abruptly to the right and opened out to form a parking area in front of an old Georgian house. At first glance, the house seemed to be in complete darkness, and it was obvious the place was in disrepair. A broken gutter was spewing dirty rainwater down one side of the facade. Paint was peeling and stained, and all but one of the windows of the first floor were boarded up. The ground floor windows were in better shape, and Cormac thought he could see a dim glow coming from a room to the left of the front door. He felt only relief that he'd found the bloody place, and he wouldn't have to go back to the station hat in hand, looking as clueless as he felt. He got out of the car and walked through the rain to the front door. It opened before he reached it, and was held ajar just enough for him to see that the person behind it was a girl. She was a teenager, 14 or maybe 15. Dark hair. Slight. "Why are you by yourself?" she asked, before he had a chance to speak. "Sorry?"